All right, take your Bibles now and turn with me to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, and my text will be found in verse 6. I've entitled this message, The Immutable God. The Immutable God. Here God makes a declaration. This is no wavering statement, but this is a statement of truth concerning Himself. He said, "For I am the Lord. I change not." And here's the result of this. "Therefore, you sons of Jacob," when he uses Jacob, he's talking about sinners. Jacob, where he means trickster, that's what his name was. "Therefore, you sons of Jacob, though sinners, yet elect, are not consumed." Now, as we are on the verge of a new year together, I've thought about this much, and I don't know about you, but I am filled with anxiety and fear. If you pay any attention at all of what's going on around you, surely you share in these fears. Our nation seems to be on the verge of collapse. Godless men rule over us. Morality in this nation is seemingly gone. False religion, free will, works religion is the norm. And those who profess under this religion profess themselves to be Christians. Wars are raging all over the world. Consider this. Women are fighting for the right to kill their children. Homosexuality is the norm. It's not even a shameful thing. Adultery and fornication are badges of honor and pride instead of shame. We live in an age where few people have ever heard the gospel. Now listen, consider that. Consider all the means that we have to communicate the gospel. We have the internet. We have all of these, Facebook and sermon audio and all of these things to distribute the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet in our day, few people have ever heard it. Even fewer believe it. And among those that profess to believe it, have added the leaven of progressive sanctification to it. They've added the doctrine that claims salvation to be by grace, but somehow they sanctify themselves by returning under the law again. It seems to be bleak. The year coming seems to be bleak in view of the year past. But listen, our Lord told us, He didn't say this, He didn't say evil seducers shall wax better and better, did He? He said evil seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceiving and being deceived. In other words, it's not going to get better. That's what He told us. It's just not going to get better. He told us that He will raise up kingdoms and He will put down kingdoms. He told us men would hate us, men would persecute us, abuse us, despitefully use us. He told us that. He told us to beware of wolves in sheep's clothing, who would come in seeking the preeminence in the church. Those who would mix works and grace. He warned us, beware of dogs. That's what He said. Beware of the concision. And so as we look upon the troubles of the old year, the anxiety of the present state and the bleak outlook of our nation and people, we surely hope and earnestly pray that the next year will be better than the previous. Every year, this is what we do. Is it not? Every year we face a new year. We desire it to what? Change. We long for it to change, to be better. We pray for our nation. We pray that the gospel of Jesus Christ would be preached in every place. We pray that many sons would be brought in. Is that not our desire? Do you not desire that many sons should come in? That God would call many people to Himself? That is our prayer. We want it to change. We want some change. We pray that men would cast off false religion and embrace the true gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation by grace. We long for that. And if God should call many sons, we surely know this. If God should call many sons to this nation, would it not be changed for the better? It would. God would bless this nation. If we had wise and godly men to rule over us, we would surely live in peace. And we know that our God is able to save sinners. Is that not right? You see that's possible by looking at this one. It is possible. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I know that's true. He is able. We know that God is able to cause wars to cease, to thwart the plans of wicked men. He is surely able to change the current state of our nation and people. But I want you to know that what is happening now is not new. What is happening to us has happened before. There are many nations and kingdoms that were greater than this one that are gone. There are many kingdoms that God didn't destroy completely, but He has made them of low estate. But whatever God will do in this coming year, this is a sure truth. We long for change. We long for change. We long for our present and future state and circumstances to be better than they were before. This is why we make all kinds of New Year's resolutions. This is why, isn't it? We see a new year coming. We try to bury the past year and see the birth of a new year as a blessing, and it is. It is a blessing. And seeing we can't change the world, what do we desire to do? Change ourselves. I talked with a guy yesterday, and I was telling him about what I was going to preach. He said, you know, I don't pay much attention to what's going on around me. I just want to worry about what's happening in my little family. So a lot of people don't pay any attention to what's happening outside. They're just focused on themselves. Okay? So we try to change ourselves. We resolve to start or stop something to make ourselves better. We determine to be better citizens. We determine to be healthier. A lot of people, seeing their trouble, they determine to be more religious, more zealous. And even we who are believers in Christ, do you not desire to grow? You believe. Don't you desire to believe more? You love. Do you not desire to love more? Sure. We desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, no matter if we keep our resolutions or fail, it does not matter if this nation ceases to exist and fall on the ash heap of time. One thing is certain, everything in this life is mutable. Now, when I say mutable, it's just changeable. Change. Change. Everything is changeable. This mutability is for one, because of one reason: sin. Why do you desire to be better? Because you're not good enough. Isn't that right? You're not good enough. Why is that? Because of sin. Sin is the root of all change. When sin entered into the world, the curse came into this world. Cursed is the ground for your sake. And so change, we want change because we're never satisfied. Anybody satisfied? You're just perfectly. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Not just contentment, but godliness with contentment is great gain. But we're never satisfied because we're never perfect. As man determines to turn over a new leaf, he doesn't consider it's the same leaf. Men desire to be more religious. Religious men determined to be holy, not knowing that they're simply painting the tomb. They're whitewashing the tomb, and inside is full of what? Dead men's bones. What our Lord told those Pharisees, you like to paint up the outside. You make a lot of resolutions to do things, and you make it look good. But you didn't consider the inside. In this world, we face all kinds of changes. Some seem good, some may seem evil. But God said this, there is a time and a season for every purpose under heaven. There's a time and a season for every purpose. Now, whose purpose? Whose purpose? God's purpose. There's a time and a season for every one of my purposes. So what is happening now is the purpose of the immutable God. What is taking place right now is the purpose of a changeless God. And so, my desire this morning, seeing the anxiety, now I've set out the anxiety for you. I've showed you the problem. Now I want you to be at peace. Regardless of what takes place, does not matter what takes place. This is true no matter what. God does not change. It's hard for us who are only always changing to get a hold of that. We don't know anything by experience that's changeless. Yet God says, I do not change. And so I want you to, let's focus this morning on the immutable God. And I've got two things about God. There are many, every attribute of God doesn't change. His justice, His holiness, His righteousness. All of His attributes are changeless. I'm going to focus on two this morning. His love and His purpose. His love and His purpose. First of all, we must know this. God says in our text, I am the Lord. Now consider that there is only one God. There are not many gods. This is why our opinion of God doesn't matter, because God is only one. If your opinion does not match what God says about Himself, then your God is not God. God says, I am the Lord. I'm the only one. There's only one. Look at Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44 and verse 6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Hear what He says. I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. You got that? Who's God? Jehovah, the Lord, the King of Israel. The Redeemer of Israel says this, I am God, there is no God beside me. Go to Isaiah 45, look over another page there, look at verse 5. God says this, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. He keeps saying beside me, as though God looked to the right and left and said, look, there's no God over here. I'm it. I am God. I'm the first. I am eternal. There was no time. I say time. You have to use words that just don't make any sense in regards to eternity. He said there was never a time that God began to exist. I'm the first. And listen, He said, I girded thee, though you did not know me. Isn't that true of every one of us? We born in this world didn't know who God was at all. And what did He do? He girded us. He took care of us. Now, He's talking to Cyrus. Cyrus was a man God determined to deliver his people. And he said, look, this guy, he's not going to know me. I'm going to use him to deliver my people. Look, he said, this is the reason I gird you, that they may know, that my people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, what? There is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. Now consider this, there's only one God. And this God is going to declare something about himself, that he is sovereign. That he is absolutely sovereign. Look what he said. I form the light and create what? Darkness. I make peace and create what? Evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. So what's taking place right now? Whatever God is purposing to do, that's what he's doing. Whatever God has purpose to do is what he's doing right now. If it's good, I did it. If there's evil in the city, I did it. Now to say something. I'm God. Who are you? Tell me what to do with my own. I'm sovereign. Notice what he's going to do, though. He says, drop down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up. Let them bring forth salvation. Let righteousness spring up together. It's one God. He says, I'm going to bring salvation. He said, I'm going to bring salvation to the earth. Let the drop down, you heavens. What is he talking about? He's talking about Christ coming. Where did Christ come from? The heavens. Where did he go? Where did he come to? To the earth. And what did he spring forth? Righteousness. And salvation for his people. See, this is the purpose of an immutable God. He said, whatever's happening in time, I did it. And I did it for this. That salvation should come to who? To Zion. And spring up. I created it. I made it. And so this God who is says there is none beside me. This is the same one in our text who said this. I change not. My purposes don't change. Your purposes change. You got a purpose. You ever set yourself to do something, determined to do it, and then fall to pieces? Well, that's because you're not God. God says, I'm God. I change not. Now listen, any God who can change his nature, his character, or his purpose is not God. Mark it down. Any God who can change is not God. The God of this world, my friends, is always changing. He's always evolving with the culture. Have you noticed that? They look at this book and say, well, that's out of date. You know, so we're going to change it. And they do. They change because their God changes. Their God changes with the times. The God of this age is one that may love you and accept you based on what you do in time. In other words, then his love would what? Change. Because what you do changes. You're good today. Well, I love you today. You're bad tomorrow. I hate you. See? It changes. That's the God of this world. The God of this world may love you based on what you do in time. And if you change your ways and do good, he'll love you. If you don't, he will hate you. Therefore, the love of their God is what? Mutable. It changes. But God says, I change not. Now, for the peace and comfort of every believer in Christ in the midst of fear and trouble, I want you to focus on these two attributes, his love and his purpose. His immutable love and his immutable purpose. First of all, his love. The love of God does not change. I don't care what's going on around you. I don't care if this nation crumbles to the dust. I don't care if our world falls apart, if we become sick and we die. The love of God does not change based on our circumstances. This should be good news for you. Since your circumstances are always changing, this is something certain. the love of God does not change. Look at Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. The Lord, remember, there's only one. He's a sovereign in all things. He says, the Lord hath appeared unto me of old, saying, yes. Always liking, when I ask a question, I always like the word yes. But I want you to know that there was no question asked, and God said yes before there was ever a question. There's not a question here. God says, yes. And this is the yes. Yes, I have loved thee. With what kind of love? Everlasting love. Now, out of any experience of everlasting love, that sure thrills my heart. I have loved thee, yes. Do you, yes. How about now, do you love, yes. Yes. Always yes. Yes. I love you. And my love is not changeable. It doesn't change. It's an everlasting love. It's an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Man by nature sees the love of God based on his circumstances. Man wakes up in the morning, the sun is shining, everything's well, he's healthy, he's happy, his business prospers, and he says, God loves me. Next week, his clouds are stormy, his dreams are dashed to the rocks, all of his hopes are gone, he's sick, he's on his deathbed, and he says, man, does God love me? Has God forsaken me? Why would we say such things? Because we are basing God's love on our circumstance. That's what we do by nature. See, neither of these things are true. We can never determine the love or hatred of God based on circumstances. Why? Because they're changing. And since God's love and God's hatred does not change, it's never based on circumstances. Ever. Romans 9. Romans 9. God displays this to us in this passage of Scripture. Romans 9, you know this very well. 11, for the children, Jacob and Esau, in the same womb with the same mother, seated by the same father. The children not yet being born, neither having done good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. He said to her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. When did God love Jacob and hate Esau? Before they were born. And listen, God didn't wait till they were seated till this happened. Remember, God is immutable. His love is unchangeable. If God loved Jacob, he loved Jacob from eternity. And if God hated Esau, he hated Esau from eternity. Why? He's immutable. He doesn't change. God did not hate Jacob and then love him because of something he did. And listen, God did not love Esau and then hate him based on what he did. This is unpalatable to the taste of men. It just is. They don't like this. But if you look at it any other way, God changes. God loved Jacob from eternity, hated Esau from eternity. Both men were born of Isaac, and both men were born dead in trespasses and sins. Therefore, both men could never please God by their obedience. See, what should surprise us is that God loved Jacob. It doesn't surprise me that God hated Esau. Why? Because we were all born in sin. That doesn't surprise us. Does it surprise you that he cast out the angels in sin? Does that surprise you? No. the oven. What surprises me is that he would love Jacob. Neither one of them could earn the love of God. And all who are the objects of God's immutable love and mercy are manifest by this. In other words, how do I know that God has loved me from eternity? Because that's important. What did it say in Jeremiah? I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, what did I do for you? I have drawn you. This is the manifestation of all those that God loves. He draws them. He draws them. What does this mean? It means they believe on Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means, simply. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? That's it. What do you say in John? John chapter 1 and verse 12. As many as received him. I didn't say accept him. That's not what it says. Received. Very important. As many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Why were you born? Why would you receive him? Because you were born of God. You were loved. You were loved. Therefore, you were born. And because you were born, you received him. Have you received him? Do you this day believe on Christ alone? As all your righteousness, all of it, all your wisdom, all your righteousness, all your sanctification, all your redemption, is he all? You, my friend, are loved. You are loved of God regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your troubles, regardless of the trials of this life. God has loved you, and God's love does not change. I love my children. I do. But if I'm going to be very honest with you, my love fluctuates. It does. It fluctuates. Just ask me sometime when my face is red and I'm upset. Do you love them? Well, yes, but not like I should. Other times my love is great. I could feel it. Why? My love is beautiful. It goes up and down. I always love them. I will always love them. But that love has a wide range in it. I want you to know this. When God loves you, there is no fluctuation in his love. And it could get no higher and it goes no lower. I don't know how high the love of God reaches. If we with ink the ocean fill and were the skies of parchment made, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. God's love is immutable. If he loves you, he has loved you, he does love you, and he shall forever love you. So as you look into the new year, you can always hold on that. You can always hold on that. His love does not change. And you know what Paul said in Romans 8? What then can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? If God purposed to save me, make me like Christ. Paul said, that's his purpose. We are called according to his purpose. What was his purpose? To make you like his son. Now if God purposed, he loved you, therefore he purposed that you should be like his son and gave his son. Scripture says God justified you. Who then can make accusations against you? Wait, if God who loved me justified me, then who can accuse me? Yea, rather, Christ had died. Who then can condemn me? If he was condemned for my sins, because he loved me, he died for me, and he was condemned for my sins, who then can condemn me for my sins? And then the conclusion is this, then who's going to separate me from that love? Since there's no sin There's no more sin between me and God. Who then is going to separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? He said, I am persuaded that neither height nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature, in case I miss one, is able to separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. So the answer to this is, who can separate me from this love? Nothing and no one. Well, I'm sick. What does that have to do with it? I've sinned. What does that have to do with it? People hate me. What does that have to do with the love of God? Nothing. He loved you before there was anything. And He'll always love you. Hold it. Hold on to it. The second thing is this: the purpose of God doesn't change. Another difference between the God of this religious age and the true God is immutable purpose. Now, the God of this age has a plan for your life. He has a plan, but He lacks the power to perform what He desires to do. The God of this age desires to save all men. He loves all men so much that He sent His Son to die for their sins, but He still can't save them. He still is powerless. The blood of His Son was not enough. The will of their God is not sufficient. Why? Because it is totally dependent upon the will or the works of the changeable creature. See, the purpose of their God changes by the will or purpose of the mutable creature. Therefore, their God is what? Mutable. His purpose is changeable. His purpose can be thwarted. His purpose can be rejected. He's frustrated. So when a man dies in his sin, it was because the purpose of his God was changed, altered, or thwarted by the will of man. This is not true with the living God. This is not true with the living God. Listen to me. Everything that God purposes to do, He does. Everything. Everything He purposes. Go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, look at verse 10. Scripture says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, maketh it to bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." You know, watch the weather. They try to predict rain. Right? They tell you, you've got a percentage of chance of rain this day. Who can stop it? You may predict it. You may be able to see the patterns, and maybe, a lot of times they fail in that, but maybe you get it right. But who can stop it? Can you stop the rain? Can you stop the snow? Listen to me. Even so, look what God says. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Listen what it's going to do. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein I sent it. Behold, the immutable decree and word of God shall accomplish everything, and it shall prosper in everything God sends it to do. Flip over a few pages back, go to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, look at verse 10. God says, declaring the end. First of all, He says in verse 9, look at that. He tells you again that there's only one God. Remember the former things of old. I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. What's the distinction? Here's the distinction. Declaring the end when? When was the end declared? From the beginning. From ancient times. The things that were not yet done, saying this, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. This is the word and purpose of God, that everything He desires to do shall come to pass. And then He gives a vivid illustration to two things, the calling of Cyrus and the calling of Christ. This is His purpose. He reveals one, the calling of Cyrus. He said, look, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man which executeth my counsel from a far country, I have spoken it, I will bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. You know how long before Cyrus was born? When that statement was made, you know how many years? 150 years. God said that 150 years before He called Cyrus. And yet it was just as sure as though it were done. He called Cyrus to deliver his nation, his people from bondage. Even so, look at this next thing, which is the true of only Christ. Hearken unto me, you stout-hearted, you that are far from righteousness. Listen, I bring near my righteousness, and it shall not be far off. My salvation, it shall not tarry. I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. You see, God has purposed His righteousness from afar. Where did His righteousness come from? It came from far away. Christ came from heaven, again, near to earth. He became a man so as to do what? To bring near the righteousness of God. To accomplish, this was the purpose of the immutable God, that Christ should come and bring righteousness and salvation. To who? For Israel. That's what He came to do. He came to bring righteousness and salvation by Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, did His purpose fail? I'll tell you, Israel all along had been promised Christ should come. All throughout the Old Testament, they were promised, Christ is coming, Christ is coming, Christ is coming. How often do you think they were disappointed? They felt disappointed. I know that Daniel did especially. Daniel, when he found out that vision, he says, it was going to be 490 years before Christ was going to come. And he was disheartened. He had hoped Christ would come in his time. But listen, did not all of those things work together for that one purpose, that Christ should come? Did it happen? It did. Why? Because God's purpose is immutable. Did Christ fulfill all righteousness? He told this to John the Baptist. He said, it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. That's what He came to do, is not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And He did. He accomplished this. And by His blood, it was the purpose of God that by the shedding of blood should be remission of sins. Therefore, Jesus came and shed His blood according to the purpose of the immutable God. And by this blood, He did perfect all His people. We read that in Hebrews 10. Comparing Him to those other priests and those other offerings. The apostle says this, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, there's a difference. One sacrifice for sin. Forever sat down on the right hand of God, henceforth expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. For by His one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. What was He doing on the cross? What was He doing in this world? He was fulfilling the eternal, immutable purpose of God, which was what? Our salvation. That's what He was fulfilling. He was fulfilling our salvation. It was the purpose of God that all he had chosen and all those that Christ had died for then should effectually be called by the Spirit of God. Go to Jeremiah chapter 29. Listen to God's purpose. The immutable God's purpose. Verse 11. God says, "For I know my thoughts." What does he mean by that? Not his flighty thoughts like ours. Purpose. His thoughts are always fulfilled. They're his purpose. I know my purpose for you. I know my thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. What is God's purpose for you? Is it peace or evil? What does the immutable God say? Peace and not evil. That's my purpose. To give you an expected end. Don't you like an expected end, something to expect? What should you that believe on Jesus Christ expect? You should expect eternal life. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, says the immutable God. What should you expect? When you die, what should you expect? Eternal life. It's an expected end. What about forgiveness of sins? I tell you this, sometimes I go to God and wonder if he's ever going to forgive me. You know what that is? Unbelief. We call it humility, but really, is it? It's unbelief. We may expect God to forgive our sins. Why? Because he said he would. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful, immutable, faithful and just to forgive us our sins. An expected end of holiness, righteousness, redemption, wisdom. Why? Because this is what God purposed for you. An expected end. And listen, Christ fulfilled this, didn't he? Even before you experienced it. When were your sins dealt with? Were they dealt with when you believed? No. They were dealt with before you believed. I like to see this. Salvation is something God does outside of us. We weren't there except that we were in Christ, that we were put into Christ, we were in union with Christ. But really, we were not in existence at that time. Salvation is something God does outside of us. Kind of like, I like to think of it like Joseph. Jacob had no clue what Joseph was doing. All the while, Joseph was preparing the salvation of Jacob. And then there was a time that Joseph was to experience it. That's the same with us. Salvation was prepared outside of us. But God purposed that this salvation should also be applied to us, experienced by us. Look what he says in verse 12. Then shall you call upon me. And you shall go and pray unto me. And what does the immutable God say when the sinner comes to him? He says, I will listen to you. I'm going to hear you. Now, before you call, I'm going to tell you you're going to call me. And when you do call me, I'm going to listen. And you shall seek me. What's the promise of you that seek him? You that seek me shall find me. And when you shall search for me with all your heart, behold his purpose, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again to the place wherein I caused you to be carried away captive. This is the immutable thoughts of God to give you a perfect salvation. There is no guessing as to what the end of every believer is. Eternal life, peace with God. You remember David on his deathbed? David's house was a mess. I mean, you consider all the things that happened to David because of his sin. The children that he had lost. I mean, one of his sons killed another son. The one that killed him, Absalom, dethroned him and sought to kill him. He had to run and hide from his own son. And what happened to that son? God ended up killing that son, didn't he? David's house was in ruin, friends. It was a mess. God said the sword shall not depart from his house. And it really didn't. After that, after Solomon, there was nothing but division among the children of Israel. And yet on his deathbed, what was his hope? It's the same hope you and I have. That God's purpose is not moved. Listen what he said. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 5, he says, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. Although I'm not going to really see everything about this in this life. I know this. My hope is that the purpose of God's covenant does not fail. That's my salvation. That's all of it. It wasn't a combination of what David would do or could do. He says, my hope is ordered in all things and what? Sure. Mark well this immutable covenant of the immutable triune God. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read the purpose of God together. Just trying to make sure to hammer this home. Ephesians chapter 1. Listen to the purpose of God. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Purpose, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Motivation, in love. There's that immutable love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. According to what? Why? Can you explain why God would choose to save you? No, it's not in you. According to the good pleasure of his immutable will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You were made accepted in the beloved. When? From eternity. According to the purpose of God, you were already accepted. But in time, look what happens. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. What? How did he make known this mystery? By the coming and dying of Jesus Christ. That's how he made known this mystery. By his immutable word and by Christ fulfilling that. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together one in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That we should be to the praise of this glory of his grace who first trusted in Christ. He's talking again about the eternal purpose of God. And the fullness of time, this is his purpose, that he gathers all together in Christ. in whom we have obtained the inheritance. When did you obtain the inheritance? You obtained it when Christ obtained it. That, here's his purpose. We should be to the praise of his glory. Who first trusted in Christ? God did. The Father trusted in Christ. Now here's our experience. In whom you also trusted. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That sealing, that's important, that's vital. When a king would seal a document, he would put his stamp on it, and it was not to be opened. It was not to be opened except by the person it was sent to. Listen, you are sealed until the day of Jesus Christ, and when he comes, it'll all be open. It'll all be revealed. Everything he promised to give, you will have in its fullness. But right now, you have an earnest, a down payment, which is what? The Spirit of God. You have the Spirit of God, the earnest, which is an earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So then what may we ascertain from this? All that God chose, all that Christ died for, every one of them shall be saved and none shall be lost. This gives me great comfort to know this, because it caused me anxious thoughts about it. When I say it now quite often, the church is always full. Used to cause me anxious thoughts that we got empty seats. But that's okay, because the church is always full. To tell you the truth, I don't want the world in here. the wolves to creep in sheep's clothing. Do you? I don't. Church is always full. Because everyone God purposed to save, he will save. God says, because I change not. And this is the result. Go back to your text one more time. Therefore, this is the result. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. Look at this again. I am the Lord. I'm the only one. I'm sovereign. Everything happens according to my will. And this is the will. I'm gonna save you. Now listen, he said, I am the Lord. I change not. My love for you does not change. I have loved you. I do love you. I shall love you. This is how you know it, because you believe on my Son. And you that believe on my Son can trust in this. My purpose for you doesn't change. I chose you according to my purpose. Everything that happens in time is for this purpose, that Christ should come and fulfill your salvation. And then everything in your life should come to fruition to bring you to me. That's my purpose. My purpose is that, and I don't change. My love for you and my purpose for you. And what's the evidence of this? He said, therefore. 3 and verse 6. Therefore, because I don't change, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. You sons of Jacob shall not be consumed. Had God not purposed and ordered all things for our salvation, surely we would be consumed. If God could change, there'd be no hope for us. If God's love and purpose depended on us, there would be no hope for us. But because his love and his purpose doesn't change, therefore, this is God who doesn't change, whose word is always sure, you shall not perish. And nothing can separate you from me. How is it that God could say such a thing? I will never leave you nor forsake you. When I would leave me and forsake me in a heartbeat. God says, I won't ever leave you. I won't ever forsake you. Why? Because my love for you does not change and my purpose to save you does not change. So now, as you see the bleak future that we have before us, the seemingly bleak future of the destruction of a nation, the immorality of a wicked people surrounding us, false gospel seeming to prevail on every corner, you and I should never be discouraged because our God does not change. And everything He is doing is for your good. All things, says the changeless God. All things. You just keep saying it. All things work together for your good. To you that love God, to you who are the called, according to whose purpose? I believe on Christ. Was that accidental? Was your salvation accidental? Or was it on purpose? Mine was on purpose. Just not mine. It was God's. I'm thankful for that. I can find rest no matter what happens in that. I pray that God bless you.